Hey guys, welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors lose their fifth straight game up in Denver with a chance to prove that, hey, we have some grit. We can win without Draymond Green. Tough matchup against the former champion Denver Nuggets, who have been recently healthy, full go now that they've got Aaron Gordon back. And the Warriors play well in this one, keeping it close, fighting, really back and forth game the entire night. But after building a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, all too familiar, the Warriors cannot get it done in clutch time and end up losing another big lead, decent-sized lead in this one, in a game that they could have won. In this five-game losing streak, I mean, they've been in every game in the fourth quarter. I think they, in four of the games, you know, were, I think, excluding the Suns, they had a lead at least midway through the fourth quarter. You know, so I guess the bright side is that, you know, there are just a few minor adjustments, you know, a few things go your way a bit and you figure a few things out, make a few changes. And hey, this could have been a, you know, 2-3 streak, even a 3-2 streak, and you're still sitting pretty in the West. But as it is, after a blistering start to begin the season and coasting and being in first place for a while in the West, we are now in seventh. 12-8, which I guess if you told me at this point, 20 games into the season, you said we were 12-8, I would have said we'll take it. But I think our expectations were a little bit higher after just such a great start. And whereas holiday season comes around, you know, we find ourselves reeling and just really trying to figure some things out. And I guess in the name of the holiday season, it is beginning to feel a lot like last year. The flip side is, I guess last year, as we headed into like mid-December, the Warriors did pull off a little five-game win streak heading into Christmas. So let's hope that that continues for this year. But we're facing a lot of these, the same issues that we knew were going to exist. And we had more or less kind of shot ourselves beyond expectations early in the season. We had played with force, played with energy. Honestly, I think the Warriors were just in better shape and conditioning than most teams starting the year, especially because of our depth. And we just were getting after it. And, you know, in parts of this game last night, you know, the Warriors were getting after it. I thought the defense was actually pretty good. They bottled up Jamal Murray for most of the game before letting him get a little bit late loose. Looney, TJD, did a good job against Jokic for the most part. I mean, he was more or less a jump shooter, and, you know, he's shooting the lights out, and there's only so much you can do, but limited his assists. I think he only had, like, what, 6 or 7 assists. So without Draymond Green, I thought Jokic would really just have a almost a career night, but they did a good job, and the Warriors gave themselves a chance to win. But like most of this losing streak, it has been the same recipe where the Warriors have been, you know, steady, sturdy for most of the game, just in terms of, you know, being in the game, being competitive, giving ourselves a chance to win in the clutch, get the game to Steph Curry, and let him do his heroics. But Steph didn't quite have it in this one, obviously dealing with some knee tendonitis, dealing with different rotations, which we'll talk about in a bit, but just didn't really seem to have it tonight. And you just see in the clutch, if Steph doesn't have it, then this team just doesn't have a chance to win. Going back to kind of more the game as a whole, the Warriors are in it. And you could point to the Nuggets shooting 46% from three. And a lot of those were on, you know, below average shooters. You know, Westbrook hit a three. Peyton Watson hit a three. Aaron Gordon hit three threes, who's been shooting well, but it's still, you know, we'll live with him shooting threes. I don't like to blame the refs usually, but in this one, I thought the refs were atrocious. That third quarter was just horrific, just ticky-tack fouls on the Warriors being called. Four fouls in the first couple minutes, which, you know, we'll take our accountability for some of it, but man, I think at least three of those could have been let go. Looney fouls out on, I mean, they even replayed it, and I mean, I guess it's a foul because he's still kind of moving, retreating, but dude, just let that go. That's a foul from the first half of the NBA last year. That's not a foul this year. And then even at the end of the game, when Christian Brown jumps on the ball, calls for a timeout that they don't have, should have been a technical foul, should have been ball back to the Warriors with a chance to tie it with a three. Steve Kerr was livid. You could hear it in his post-game interview that he was still pissed off about it, as was I. Refs did a horrible job in this, but my point is that you know, a few of those things kind of regress to the mean, and you, I mean, Steph Curry's never going to get a whistle, but you say, hey, maybe once in a while the Warriors get a favorable whistle. Now you're winning games like this. But this game, like we knew would probably be the case, it was going to come down to closing time. And like we knew would probably be the case coming into the season, this closing lineup is not very good. Steph Curry, despite being the clutch player of the year last year, you know, how you're going to expect him to be clutch player of the year every year, hasn't really had it in this season. And the games that we are winning against good teams, you know, that's the times he has had it. But it's a lot to put on Steph. It's a lot to expect when you're just the only one creating shots in general, not even just the scoring, but creating opportunities. So I think we knew that this closing five, or whatever you want to call it, it would be the Achilles heel of this team. And even more so than that, just finishing halves. The Warriors have just not finished halves well. It seems like we're always just fighting to stay in games, and at halftime, it's a little worse off, and we're losing momentum heading into halves. Let's look at the Warriors. The possessions in the final 4 minutes, where the Nuggets went on a 13-2 run, started, so I think last 4 minutes, Buddy misses a wide open three. Buddy Hield had a horrible game tonight, last night, and, you know, he's really cooled off, but misses a three, eventually gets pulled because he just didn't have it. Kuminga misses a layup. Steph misses a three. Steph makes a layup. Then Kuminga, after a nice pass from Curry, gets his dunk attempt just kind of swatted away on the way up by Murray. It was just kind of an unfortunate play for the Warriors. Should have been two. Next possession down, Gary Payton misses an open three. Steph misses a three. Kuminga's layup gets blocked by Jokic. And then Wiggins, who disappeared for most of this game, showed you why. He just slips, falls on a chance to, I think, tie the game at that point, under a minute, but slips, falls down, turns the ball over. What I guess it teaches us is that we don't have a consistent number two guy who can get his own shot. I mean, Wiggins, Kuminga, Buddy Hield, whoever you want to pick, you know, between the three of them, I mean, we didn't get one decent look at the hoop towards the end of the game. And you know, that's how you lose games, and that's what needs to fix, or what needs to change. And it's an obvious fix that the Warriors need to find a better number two. We don't need to get too much more into it. We're just, you know, belaboring the points, but it has never been more apparent that Steph Curry needs some help if this team is going to have a chance to win close games down the stretch. And more so even just to reduce the wear and tear on Steph, man, he just relentlessly every single possession that last 4 minutes, you know, it started with Steph. He's attacking Jamal Murray, not quite getting the separation he needs. And now the Warriors are just kind of, you know, flailing for a good shot. Curry, 24, 7, and 11 assists in this game. But again, went cold in the clutch. I think he's 8 of 23 on the game, 4 of 15 from 3. He finished pretty well in that second quarter. Couldn't quite get there in the fourth. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I think Steph's doing what he can out there. It's pretty apparent that he doesn't quite have the same juice and burst, especially kind of attacking the rim, as he did earlier in his career. And that's okay. You know, I think it's what is inevitable, and we hope that he can hold on to that and find other ways to score for as long as possible into his career. But if this is the new norm, then it's that much more apparent. You need to find more shot creation to ease the burden on Curry. The Kerr and Curry and the coaching staff decided that, hey, let's play Steph in slightly shorter spurts. And well, you know, Curry doesn't usually love it, but I think the 9-10 minute spurts, not quite where we want to be with his knees kind of ailing him. So he only played the first 5 minutes and then rode the bike for a few more in the first quarter just to kind of stay warm. Had a great second or end of the first, early second stint, and then finished the last 3 minutes of the half. So that was kind of the rotation pattern. Probably better from an injury standpoint, just even though he played 34 minutes, we kind of stretched him. I think the goal was to have him play, six 5-minute shifts or so to getting up to 30 minutes, but he had it going in the second, so played a little more. It'll probably stay like this for a little bit, and then he'll go back to his normal rotations, but maybe that's why he didn't shoot well, didn't really quite find a rhythm in the second half. Whatever the reason, it was a different look, and yeah, it wasn't enough to win the game. Let's start with some of the bad players. Pajemski, called out by Steve Kerr after this game. And I mean, you saw him yelling at him on the sideline a bit after Potts fouled Aaron or Michael Porter Jr. on a three. It was the second three-point shooter he fouled in the game. A lot of bad decisions by Pajemski, where I think that's why Steve Kerr said on him, because he knows Pajemski's one of the smarter, higher IQ players on this team. He's capable of making great decisions. He's in his own head, man. A lot of it, you know, it's deciding to throw, I think he threw a couple lobs, you know, trying to hit homers where we just need to hit singles. It's that shooting a three rather than just passing the ball to Wiggins and letting him attack Jokic in that fourth quarter. Shot a three, you know, shot terribly again. That's none of the threes even look close. There are nothing's hit the inside of the rim. I you know, it's good to stay aggressive, but it's just not there right now. Although he did hit two mid-range elbow shots, which he, quite frankly, it's very important for his game to be able to settle into that mid-range, because tough for him to score inside, really tough for him to score outside right now. Needs to have something in between just to kind of give himself a few more escapes once he's kind of attacking. And, you know, it's amazing for what making some shots did. You see, as soon as he kind of hits that mid-range, you know, he's feeling good. You know, the defense intensity picks up. You know, shot making's that one skill. You know, I know it's just one skill amongst many skills in basketball, but it really is the ultimate confidence changer. And, you know, you look at how players play, you know, and often you just look at, you know, their scoring, their shooting, and that is very important. But there's so many other aspects that shooting and your confidence really does end up impacting, even though they should be separate. But I've been seeing it a lot with Pajemski. You know, he misses a shot, misses a three, and then it seems like every time the next possession, he's making a poor defensive play. It's fouling somebody. It's letting up a bucket. It's just a negative play that you can tell he's just reeling from the shot, and it's affecting him on the other side of the floor. So needs to just get that confidence back, make good decisions, just trust the process, keep on playing through it. We know you can be better, but man, right now it's hard to play Pajemski. I mean, that shooting guard spot for us is just really struggling. And, it, you know, I guess it has to probably be Pajemski coming around. I mean, we've tried Moody there, and we'll get to Moody in a sec, but Moody played up and down in this one, or we'll call it down and then very up in the second half. But the consistency is not quite there that we've seen from Moody throughout most of his career. So, no, whoever wants to play that too, it's up for grabs. Who can do it consistently, we'll see. But Pajemski, you gotta, some things are better, some things that you're typically good, we're not good in this one. So really need him to get going. Speaking of Moody, 13 points, rough first half, didn't really do much, but as he played his second half minutes, you know, that his activity, his effort, his hustle kept us alive in that third quarter when the Nuggets are trying to separate. And then that fourth quarter was great. Hit a couple big threes, found ways to score. You know, this is why Steve Kerr, you know, this is why you have to commit to minutes for guys like Moody. It's too easy to say, okay, he had a bad first half, and now he's not going to play again in the second half. And I know there's been times where Moody had a great first half and still didn't play in the second half. You need to commit to giving Moody his rotational minutes. I forget how many minutes he played, but you need to commit to it, because you can have a bad first shift and then settle into the game and play much better in the second half. And that's exactly what happened in this one. So, you know, one of my biggest critiques of Kerr is, you know, sometimes you're trying to ride the hot hand too much. You're just kind of in the game, making too many adjustments. I'd say, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but commit to the minutes that you intend to give to guys, you know, on the back end of the bench, like Moody, you know, like I would typically say Pajemski, but no, you know, Buddy Hield has to keep playing. Even when he doesn't have it going, he can get hot at any point. Even GP2, you know, find ways to get him minutes, and, you know, no more of these little, I know I said I would take him out of the rotation on the last episode here, but he played extremely well in this one. You got to find ways to give him minutes. I think taking Lindy Waters out of the rotation last night opens up a few more minutes. And you saw GP2 took some of those minutes and Moody took some of those minutes, and they had great games. GP2 ended up making a three-pointer, which is like the craziest thing I've seen in a while from him. Hasn't made many this year, but had a big scoring day, 5 of 6 from the field, and had 11 points, and just played a very strong game. Other role players, you know, Kyle Anderson, slow start, but found his way into minutes, ended up closing the game, but I think he had like 6 rebounds and 5 or 6 assists, finds ways to impact the game, especially on the defensive end. So I thought he did a great job filling in for Draymond, and that's what you have him for. But let's get to Kuminga, who also falls into this same bucket of, hey, he needs to get his minutes regardless. Although he was a little backwards last night, he ended up hot. 9 points in that first quarter. Best player on the floor out of all the starters for that first quarter. 14 in the first half. Only 5 points in the second half. Finished with 19 for the game. Sort of disappeared in that second half. But what you saw early was everything you want to see on the offensive end from Kuminga, right? He's seeing the floor much better. It seems like the game's really slowing down a bit. When he catches the ball, he seems to have a plan, right? It's catch and, hey, I know I can get to the hoop. I'm going right away. It's catch and it's not there. I'm going to keep the ball moving and be a playmaker and find other shooters. Or sometimes it's, hey, low shot clock. I need to kind of get to that mid-range, put up a decent look, the best that we're going to get, late shot clock. So I thought he passed up on a couple of ones where he might have shot it, but ended up being patient, finding Steph Curry for open shots. It's just a much better feel for when to attack, when to shoot, when to keep it moving. So I think on a team where there's just such a lack of shot creation, he's been one of the most consistent shot creators, including getting to the line typically, that the Warriors have had. And through the ups and downs, you just need to keep him playing. Was in the closing lineup. Good job, Kerr, although it didn't quite pan out great in this. But had a couple opportunities to score late, didn't quite get it done. Good defense by the Nuggets. The question I have, and I know I say it a lot, but you know, Kuminga is the key to really unlocking this Warriors team, but I want to talk about like the defensive side, because I think we know offensively what he's bringing, it's improving, and he's getting there offensively. On defense, you know, can he become a viable perimeter defender? You know, can he be, in addition to Wiggins and GP2 when he's on the floor, you know, a point of attack defender against, you know, the bigger wings, against, I mean, I don't want to say LeBron, but you know, that kind of build, your Paul Georges of the world. You know, can Kuminga put up enough resistance without fouling, and just play smart and be a guy that can handle, you know, maybe 6 to 8 minutes as that primary point of attack perimeter defender? And then also, in addition to that, you know, can you continue to provide a little bit of rim protection? Can you get a block a game? Can you alter shots at the rim? He almost had a great play. It was overturned, but took a charge initially on Jokic late in the fourth. Would have been a huge play, but they challenged it and feet just moving a bit. 3-point play for Jokic. And you could say that that was one of the turning points in the fourth. Haven't seen Kuminga take too many charges, but you feel like with just a little more experience, you know, it's rather than shuffling those feet to the side, it's just one bigger step, get to the spot, plant yourself, take that in the chest, and that's a winning play. So I appreciate the effort. I appreciate it almost being there. Continue making progress on the defensive side of the ball. Well, I mean, I guess that's all we'll really say about last night's game. There's not a lot of other more positives there other than they fought and they gave themselves a chance. Lastly, you know, Draymond Green with that calf, you know, we could be looking at an extended absence for Draymond. If you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, he missed a lot of games, it ended up being a back issue, but he felt it first in his calf, kind of connected almost like a sciatica type thing, but just kind of lower back kind of wear and tear. It took him a while to rehabilitate it. I don't know how many games he missed at that point, but it was a few. They're saying that they're doing more testing. They're continuing to monitor and learn a little bit more, but there are some similarities. They think they've caught it a bit earlier this time, but there's some similarities to that same kind of ailment. So hopefully we get Draymond back before our next NBA Cup game, which I believe would be in a week and a half from now. So upcoming schedule, we play the Rockets tomorrow. Then we got the Wolves on, what would that be, Friday and Sunday. And then next Tuesday, I believe, we play the Rockets in the NBA Cup at Houston in the quarterfinals. So we'll see how it ends up. I think not a terrible draw, all things considered. The event, because we lost this one, yeah, we have to go on the road. But we know we can beat the Rockets. We played them well. The other two teams on the other side of the bracket are the Thunder, who I'm glad to avoid, and the Mavericks, who snuck in with a nice comeback last night against the Grizzlies. Of those teams, I guess I'd rather play the Rockets, but we've beat all three of them, and I think we know we can handle, especially at full health. So we're going to keep our spirits up in the name of the holidays and just hope for a little Christmas miracle in terms of maybe a trade or transaction or someone gets it going. But something needs to happen because we know that this is what this team is. It's what we thought they would be heading into the season, a competitive, you know, scrappy team with a lot of depth that's going to have trouble when you're in the clutch and playing in the half court five-man lineups. So also, Warriors got beat in transition last night. Can't happen. I know the Nuggets are the best in transition this season, but Warriors are built on transition defense and getting out and running, and it wasn't there tonight. So, or last night, excuse me. All right, moving on, guys. I will talk to you after next time. Thanks for tuning in. Stay strong. Hang in there. We'll be back, and we will weather the storm and be okay. Until next time, I'm Chris Chin. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe if you haven't. I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace, love, and Stacking Dubs.